face, found the locking handle, and eased it up a little. Nothing happened, so he took a chance and threw it clear back, ready to shut it again if the river flooded in.
We're above the water. Still a lot of snow, but I think it's easing some. JB, can you turn her around and give me a chance to wreck?
Sure. Reverse port and forward with starboard. And around we go.
Ryan stared out into the night, struggling to catch a glimpse of anything that might give a clue about where the shore lay.
Can I ask a question?
Sure, Mildred.
Just what happened back there? One minute we're driving along, the next minute we're falling into deep water.
Why, that's just like life, isn't it?
Ryan detected a faint flicker of light, but the Lav was swinging steadily, and he couldn't be certain. He was about to ask JB to pull her the other way, but he decided it would be better to let it go around one more time.
We ran off a dock, Mildred. Blame our high and mighty nav man up there.
Hey, I said I'd get us into the river, and I did.
Sure. Want me to stop circling?
Not yet. Yeah, there it is. One more time around, but real slow. Ready to check when I say the word. I can see something. Must be the shore. I'll open the hatch and try to get out. Should be able to see from there.
Make sure we're high enough out of the water. Open up the big hatch if we're not, and we'll float like a lead balloon.
Ryan eased it open a quarter inch. A little water seeped in, but there was no serious problem. He flung the hatch all the way back, wincing again as the biting gale dashed snow in his face. Out in the night air, it was surprisingly easy to get his bearings. The wind was blowing steadily from the north, and he knew the river ran more or less north-south. So once he stared into the driving blizzard, shielding his eye from the snow, he knew the New York shore lay to his right. Over to the other side were the big swamps.
JB, steer right.
Sure.
And open up your hatch as well. You get a bit wet, but you'll be able to hear me.
Sure.
They made the turn, heading in a ponderous quarter circle. In the gaps between the snow flurries, Ryan thought a couple of times that he saw a distant flickering light. Christy joined him.
Making me feel pig-sick down in there. Rather be wet and cold.
I don't know where we are. I figure we must have gone in the river a couple of blocks too late. So we need to go south for a quarter mile or so.
You got the map?
Sure, but it's falling apart with the water. I can remember it.
Think we'll make it?
Christy was hanging on to his arm. Even though they were so close, the blackness meant they couldn't even see each other's face.
I know we'll get to where we're going. The rest? I'm not so sure.
The flow of the river was another factor in the impossible equation. They didn't know how fast it was flowing, so they didn't know how far south they were being carried. And since they hadn't known where they were in the first place, there was an awful lot of guesstimates involved.
Snow's easing some, lover.
The wind was also dropping, but still whipped white caps off the tops of the waves all around them. The Lav buttered its way through them, kicking up a wall of white spray. Ryan was steadying himself on the side of the turret, the long barrel of the blaster against the side of his leg. His own G-12 caseless was strapped securely across his shoulders.
How am I doing? Still can't see.
Keep going where you're going now.
The map had shown two prongs of fallen rock and stone, like the straight horns of a cow. Stanton said they'd been warehouses once, but now they provided a kind of natural harbor that the scalies sometimes used for their fishing rafts. Once shore was reached, there was a big arched tunnel that gave access, so Stanton believed, to the heart of the Medes Empire. Ryan was grateful for the storm. If the night had been calm, then the scalies would have heard them coming 5 miles off.
Can I come up top? I fear the poor remnants of Stanton's feast are about to reappear.
Careful of the controls.
What? I didn't quite get...
Suddenly, Ryan was in the blackness of the river, swimming for his life. One moment, he and Christy had been pressed close. Then the turret began to swing around, the barrel of the Bushmaster catching Ryan just below the knees, sending him teetering off the slippery wet metal right into the Hudson.
Oh, sorry about that. I seem to have caught my foot on some lever. Hope it wasn't... Ryan? Ryan?
Ryan himself didn't hear the explanation. He just heard the rushing, bubbling sound of the river beating in his ears. He kicked his way to the surface, hampered by the weight of the rifle. His head above water, he looked around for any sign of either the wag or the shore, but he couldn't see either. Then something brushed against the side of his leg. He kicked out, feeling his boots jar against something long and solid that floated just below the surface of the river. As he pushed against it, he felt it move, pressing upward. The panga slipped into his right hand, and he reached down, ready for mortal combat. With a long, splintered branch, slimy from its long immersion in the Hudson, Ryan fumbled to get his weapon back into the sodden leather sheath at his hip. But the clinging, smothering cold was already biting at him, making movements clumsy and slow. Ryan had a momentary flash of a tattered book the trader had once lent to him about the big firefight called the Second War. Convoys of water wags went into the Arctic to supply the Ruskies. If a man went in the water when they were attacked, he'd die in less than 2 minutes if he wasn't rescued.
Hey! Over here! Hey! Christy!
As soon as JB realized what had happened, he began the slow process of turning the wag around, steering it in a big circle, trying as he did so to allow for the effect the current was having on them and what effect it might be having on Ryan. Christy, Doc, and Mildred were now all on top, grabbing hold of anything they could, scanning the dark surface around them for some sign of Ryan.
Should be soon.
Can you cut the engine?
What?
If he's calling, we can't hear him. Can you stop the engine?
She's hardly firing as it is.
Christy cautiously slithered to the front, leaning to speak to JB through his obslit.
If you don't, then we might not find him and he'll die.
I stopped the engine and we could all die. Not the way Ryan would want it, Christy. Sorry.
The word of apology was only a token gesture, and they both knew it. Both knew that JB was making the right call. Christy wished they had Jack Lauren with them. The albino teenager had poor vision in bright sunlight, but excellent sight in darkness. Christy herself could see better than most, but the intermittent flurries of snow made it very hard. There was no way of telling what was water, sky, or land. By one of those flukes so beloved by the Lords of Chaos, it was Doc Tanner, with much the worst eyesight, who spotted Ryan.
There! He's over there!
Doc slid forward on his belly, grabbing hold of one of the front lights. It was only afterward that it occurred to him that if he'd missed his grip, he'd have gone onward and downward, straight under the bow of the wag. Mildred threw herself after him, only on the second attempt, grabbing hold of his flailing legs. JB banged the gears into reverse, bringing the lumbering lab to a gradual halt. Ryan was hardly moving. The cold numbed his entire body, slowing his blood, until the calm of death seemed a pleasant option. He was barely aware of the black mass of the eight-wheeler alongside him.
Ryan! Ryan!
A voice called a familiar name that Ryan recognized through the net of ice that was drawn around his brain, and something poked him sharply in the shoulder.
Catch hold of my sword stick, Ryan! Damn it, man! Wake up!
The momentum of the massive wag was carrying it past him, the strong wind pushing it down the river. Ryan was sliding alongside toward the stern. In another 30 seconds or so, he'd bob out of reach and vanish once more into the freezing blackness. Ryan was tired, and the jabbing stick was an irritant.
Fuck off!
He reached up to push away the thing that kept hitting him and grabbed hold of its smooth wood.
Don't let go, lover. Use both hands!
Christy?
With that realization came a surge of awareness, where he was and what was happening. He was in the icy Hudson, and he was on the way to dying.
No. No. No!
JB was fighting the controls, struggling to keep the unwieldy monster stationary in the water. Christy swung herself off the top, feet scrabbling for a purchase on an anchor point on the side, reaching and locking her fingers into the mass of black curly hair, steadying Ryan for a moment. It was still a ferocious battle to get him up and out of the freezing embrace of the big river. A gust of wind turned the wag broadside, and it lurched, nearly throwing all four of the companions into the Hudson. Finally, they were all huddled on top of the raft, while JB gave it the gun, heading due east toward the New York shore. The snow had finally stopped, and there was a segment of silver moon showing through ragged cloud. Without that pale light, it would have been vastly difficult to locate their destination. The entire Lower East Side had been devastated by the nukes, and one pile of rubble looked a lot like another. But they picked their way along until Christy spotted the two horns of rubble, shown on Stanton's map. The armorer slowly eased the wag in toward the shore, all lights out. Once they were inside the northern spur of rock, they were sheltered from the biting wind. On top, Christy, Mildred, and Doc were clustered around Ryan, trying to keep him from freezing to death. The problem with that was that all of them were soaked in cold.
My God, Ryan, A thousand pardons. If you had met your end, I don't know what I'd do with myself.
There'll be time for apologies later. Have to get warmed up. The first Scaly will take us all out with one claw tied behind its back.
At least we're out of the wind.